last week was Hearing Awareness Week, so we thought it might be a good opportunity to talk about it today. And sometimes it's described as an invisible ailment or disability because it's not obvious when you know someone hasn't got a hearing problem unless you actually try to speak to them and then have difficulty communicating with them. So those of us that aren't affected by it, I don't see a lot of people with it. So am I right in saying it's not a big problem, or is it bigger than I realise?
Well, yeah, it probably is a little bit bigger. Most people, I guess, figure that they're going to have some hearing loss as they get older, and that happens with age, and that's true to a degree, but there's other things that can cause hearing loss as well. And I guess because it's not necessarily obvious, you don't necessarily realise that people may be suffering from hear loss as you pass them in the street or see them going about their daily business. But hearing loss is actually the second most common health condition experienced by Australians, and at least one in six Australians has some sort of hearing difficulty, and this number is increasing all the time. So it's more common than asthma, it's more common than heart disease, cancer, diabetes, all those common things which we think are horrendous. And I guess because hearing isn't something that's necessarily going to take your life or debilitate you on a physical level, it tends to get swept aside a little bit, but it is important.
Yeah.
And so it's something that we really should be focusing on, I think.
As you're right when you say it won't kill you, but are there early signs apart from losing your hearing? How do you know that you're losing your hearing?
Well, because loss of hearing is a gradual process, quite often you don't actually notice, but I guess some of the early warning signs, if you find that you can hear people saying things but you can't actually understand what they're saying, you might also find it hard to hear in noisy situations, or when you're talking in a group of people and you're thinking that people are just mumbling all the time. It could actually be your hearing that's the problem rather than the fact that they're not speaking clearly. Sometimes you might find also the TV or the radio, in our case, is turned up much, much louder, and people are always saying, why have you got that TV so loud, or why have you got the radio so loud? That's another indication. And also, if you don't hear people come to the door, you don't hear the doorbell, or you don't hear your phone ringing, that can be another sign that perhaps your hearing needs some attention.
Okay, well, I certainly won't hear mine ringing. I have mine on vibrate because I work in radio. But you mentioned that obviously people as you get older, hearing becomes less effective and it deteriorates with age. But there's other causes of hearing loss as well, isn't there, not just age?
Yeah, well, there can be, and some of those, unfortunately, can happen, at birth. It can be a genetic problem that, you've been born with a problem with your ears and they just don't function properly. Sometimes if mothers get infections during pregnancy, serious infections or rubella or toxoplasmosis or something along those lines, that can cause some problems with hearing in kids as well. And I guess also if there's some, the skull doesn't, or the ear hardware, I guess, doesn't form properly, before birth, then that can cause problems as well for hearing for kids pretty much their whole lives. Meningitis is another disease that can cause nerve inflammation, which can damage the auditory nerve, and that can cause hearing problems as well. Head trauma or perforated eardrums can also reduce your ability to hear. And if you get persistent ear infections, that can quite often damage the eardrum and damage the hardware that makes your ear work properly. And can lead to ear problems as well.
I'm guessing because there's so many different causes of hearing loss, not all hearing loss would be the same. There'd be different types of hearing loss as well, wouldn't there?
Yeah, they tend to be classified into a couple of different areas. One that's conductive hearing loss is essentially the inability of the sound to be able to pass from the outer ear into your middle ear, if you like. So the sound's can be blocked by earwax, or you have glue ear or something like that. There's built up of fluid due to an infection in your sinuses. It just sort of dulls the sound so that the apparatus in your ear that actually detects the sound doesn't actually vibrate in the same way, so that can stop it. There's also sensory neural hearing loss, though, which is the actual inner part of the ear. It's quite a complicated, but in your very inner ear, there's little hairs that vibrate to the sound, and that actually stimulates the auditory nerve, which then converts to sound. But if those hairs aren't working properly, then that can be a real problem, and that can affect your hearing as well.
So don't shave your ears?
Definitely not. And I guess, you can also get a mixture of the two, which is a problem. You'd have trouble getting into shaving those hairs as well. They're right in the middle and you can't see them. So.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. Obviously, testing will it can, I guess, give you a bit of an idea of how bad your hearing is or how good it is. So what's involved in testing? I've probably done it years ago when I was younger, but I haven't done it for a long time. And it's only a short test, though, isn't it? And depending on where you go, sometimes you can get it done for free.
Well, that's right, and you're right. It usually, you know, involves headphones and listening to sounds, and it really just measures what sounds you can and can't hear in both pitch and also volume of sounds. It's different, tested differently in children and adults, but the results are marked on a graph called an audiogram, which basically shows how loud the sounds are you can hear and how loud they need to be before you can hear them, which is called your hearing threshold. And this can indicate to the doctor or the audiologist exactly what might be the problems with your ears, and they can go from there.
It's funny you should mention that adults and children are different, because I remember reading a story probably 6 months ago now about a place in Europe, I think it was, where they had a lot of vandalism, so they put these speakers up with a special noise that only children could hear, and I didn't think that was true, but it's obviously right.
Yes, it is true, actually, and I guess with kids, there's different sounds they can certainly hear as well. But with kids, they're not as good at reporting necessarily when they can hear sounds. And certainly, if you think of, you know, little babies even, which need to have sound tests, they quite often the test involves the audiologist actually watching the response of a child rather than necessarily waiting for them to say yes, I can hear that, or no, I can't. So whether they turn their head towards the speaker, or in case of babies, if they move in some way in response to the sound, then that's the way that they test them there. So,
yeah, I think this was designed to drive them away. It was at a pitch that would be very annoying to them, apparently. Yeah.
So some councils actually Martin playing country music in their malls and that to get rid of the teenagers as well.
Well, that's true. That's a good choice, that one. So how do you actually test them then?
There's a variety of tests that can be used to actually do your hearing, but the simplest way of testing is called a pure tone audiometry test. And this involves listening to a range of beeps and whistles called pure tones, and you actually indicate when you can hear them, and the softest sounds you can hear are marked on your audiogram as your auditory threshold. The tests for children are different, as I said, but this audiogram can then give the indication of what your hearing is likely to be like and indicate how the best way to treat it might be.
Yeah, so the tests are all about really quantifying how bad your hearing loss is or otherwise. So if someone's got a hearing problem, what can they do about it?
Well, I guess seeing an audiologist to come up with a solution to actually improve their hearing is the best way to do it. And this is usually related to the underlying cause of the condition. I mentioned sensorineural hearing loss before, and this condition's permanent, so nothing can be done to necessarily reduce that, whereas something, if it's glue ear or wax in the ear or something like that, your hearing may actually be able to be improved again just by simply cleaning out your ears or reducing the build-up or what's causing the build-up of that sort of congestion. If it is an ongoing problem for you, then hearing aids are probably the most usual way of dealing with them in the longer term. And if you have any hearing impairment, this wearing a hearing aid can actually increase the volume of the sounds that you're listening to. They basically consist of a microphone and an amplifier and then a speaker and a battery that actually the speaker obviously amplifies the sound in your ear. And the modern ones are really good. You've probably seen them advertised on TV. They're the digital ones. They can be used to reduce the sound of background noise and also amplify the conversational noise that you're hearing so that you can actually hear the sounds that you want to hear better.
So they filter the sound, in effect.
They do indeed, and actually we have a customer who has hearing aids, and he's actually got his mobile phone tuned to them, so when his mobile phone rings, he doesn't have to put it up to his ear, it just comes through his hearing aids. So Bluetooth in your hearing aids is the new way to go, apparently. So that's quite sensational, I thought.
But
other possibilities, I guess, you can get other hearing aids which transmit the sound through the bones in your ears if your eardrum is no longer functioning. And then there's a thing called cochlear implants, which stimulate the auditory nerve directly through converting the sound to an electric pulse, which actually stimulates the nerve. So they're quite, breaking technology as well.
Yeah, wonderful Australian invention, sometimes referred to as the bionic ear. Prevention's better than cure, and I guess we've known for a long time that loud noises damage your hearing. So other than earmuffs, what sort of protection do you need?
Well, sounds generally above 70 decibels can be harmful if you're exposed to them a long time. Now, to most of us, 70 decibels doesn't really mean much. So I guess if you're looking at avoiding excessive noise, if you find you need to raise your voice or shout to someone who's more than an arm's length away from you, then that noise is excessive. And if you think, I guess, of machinery or music or those sorts of things, I guess you can all get a reasonably idea of how loud noise needs to be not damaging your ears. And I guess three things you can do to prevent that noise-induced hearing loss is to turn down the volume on your iPod or your music player that you're using, because that's, you know, long-term sound. You don't perhaps realise how loud that can be and the deterioration that can be. Wearing protection if you're at work and you're exposed to loud noise or machinery, or you're going to concerts or sporting events, those sorts of things. And I guess try and limit the amount of time that you're exposed to loud noise as well, and those three things. If you do those things, you have a much better chance of maintaining your hearing.
And don't become the lead singer for AC/DC, because I'm pretty sure Brian Johnson had to quit because of his hearing, didn't he?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I guess, you know, occupational hazard, but I guess he's got some funding to behind him to be able to make that, live with that a bit
easier. I reckon, yeah. And Jack Brabham was also deaf in older age, and I reckon that's because of what he did as a young man as well. There's also a government website you can have a look at as well, Colin.
Yes, the Hearing Awareness Week website is set up by the Australian government. Hearing Awareness Week was actually established by the World Health Organization to try and focus on hearing problems throughout the world, but the Australian government has got on board and established this website at hearingawarenessweek.org.au, and there's plenty of information on there about the volumes of sound that we were talking about and what you can do if you think you may have hearing problems. So it's a good place to get
And talk to your doctor and your pharmacist. Colin, thanks for your time as always today. We'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thanks, Martin.